How's everyone? Okay, before I start, I'm just going to get everyone to have a conversation with God. So why did you come to church today? Don't answer. Why did you come to church today? Did you come to worship? Did you come to hang out with friends and family? Did you come to get an answer on how to finish 2017? Did you come to get an answer on how to start 2018? So I'm just going to get everyone to start. And I want you, if you haven't already, if you didn't do this at home, I want you to speak to God and say, God, this is what I want. And as I share the word, be listening in your spirit so you get that answer, okay? That's what I prayed this morning. I'm like, God, let me bring a word that your children need to hear. Let me bring through my message, through my life story, through a phrase I say, let me speak an answer into someone's life. So I'm going to get everyone to stand. And in your own words, just begin to speak to God this morning. Father, we thank you so much, oh God. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for your anointing in this place, oh Father God. Holy Spirit, right now we invite you into our lives. We invite you to invade every part, every right to the core of our beings, oh Father God. Lord, I declare whatever word you need to speak to us today, we are ready to receive it, oh God. Whatever we need to live in 2017, oh Father God, we will hear a word that will let us live that in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, as we look out, as we are on the horizon of crossing into 2018, oh Father God, I declare strategies are being downloaded in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, right now I take captive of this atmosphere in the name of Jesus. And I declare that every spirit that is against the Spirit of God, right now I command you to flee this building in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I declare an open heaven in this place, oh Father God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will break through our thinking, you will break through our mindsets, you will break through our belief system, oh Father God, and you will download right down into our spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just sense to do that because, you know, when you have no expectation, you get disappointed. So if you come to church or anywhere and you expect the person delivering the message to give you the answer, you're going to be disappointed. Because it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Tony, Pastor Morello, or anyone. It's about you and God. Amen? Amen. So today I'm going to be speaking about unlocking the promise. I really struggled to come up with a title for the message. But for the last few years, I've been finishing my year the same way. So since about 2012, about this time 2012. And what had been happening in my life, I would get to the end of the year and I would be so frustrated because I wouldn't be where I wanted to be in January. So I love January because, you know, there's so much hope, vision, dream, even 21-day fast after Christmas, which I am thankful for. But I'd get to the end and I'd have frustration. And I'm like, what happened? In January, I set a goal to do this. Come December, either I'm halfway there or I totally forgot about it. And I was really frustrated. And I sense God saying to me, it's because you do not take care of your year the way you take care of your work. And I'm like, what do you mean, God? And God is like, how do you finish your work year? How do I finish my year at work? I'm like, oh, well, I do a review of my goals. I do not even just at the end of the year. I do the review throughout, like every quarter at least. You look how you're going financially. You look how you're tracking with your income. And then if you need to make tweaks along the way, you make them. And then the other thing we do is we evaluate our relationships, our partnerships. Are we getting the maximum benefit from our partnerships? Is there a new partnership? Is there external engagement that, or are there people I need to know that work in another department? And then the third thing we do, we always set goals for the next year, for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years, at times even the next 20 years. And so God challenged me and he said to me, you put more emphasis on this business, this organization that has nothing to do with my eternity. And with my life, I'm just like, oh yeah, whatever. I set my goals and then I go on. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me in 2012 and he said, I need you to treat your life the same way you treat your work, to have a review and set goals for the next year. So as we finish out this year, I believe we all need to review our year. So as the year finishes, ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you need to leave behind in 2017? So it could be a bad habit that you've picked up along the way. It could be a bad friendship, bad relationships. It could be just your relationship with God just got derailed and you need to leave that behind. Ask God what you need to build on. So there's things that God has begun working in our lives that is really good. Like God's really just started to sow into certain areas of our lives. So ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to continue building on in 2018? We need to celebrate the wins. Celebrate the breakthroughs that we've had, that you've had in your life. Because sometimes we're so focused on the one that didn't happen, the one that didn't get fulfilled, or the one that's partway through. But celebrate, just, you know, with the Thanksgiving nights, that's part of that celebration where you say, God, we thank you. Like as a church, from where I stand and I sit, we've had an amazing year. We have had an amazing year. And then you need to learn from your mistakes. And learning from your mistakes doesn't mean you're condemned and you know what, that's the end of it. You need to learn from it and you move on. And then look at the relationships and the friendships. Are they life-giving or are they draining you? So for 2018, this is how I review my year. So what does your 2018 look like? So like I've shared before, God usually gives me a word, a phrase, a verse that I hold on to for the next year. And to be honest with you, in my lowest of lows, that seems to be the only thing that keeps me going through that season I'll be going through. So last week, for those of us who were not in church, Pastor Mirella declared a word over ICC for 2018. And she said, if you believe it, take it. Take it for your life. And I believed it and I took it. So I'll have the verse. So she declared that as ICC in 2018, the word for us is Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 and 11. And it reads, When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then you will eat and are satisfied. Amen? So if you haven't already got a word, this is the word that was declared over this house last week. And she said, if you believe it, take it. If you don't believe it, don't take it. So for you, for me, once we receive a word like this, how do we make that word active in our lives? Because just having this scripture stuck on my fridge, stuck on my mirror, stuck on a notice board or anything is not going to make this word active in my life. You know, when you decide to take a journey, you can travel many ways. Say you want to go to Melbourne. You could run. There's an ultra marathon that people do. I don't know how many days it takes. You could take a bicycle. You could take a car, or you can take a plane. All these ways lead you to Melbourne. But one of them will get you to Melbourne in an hour, 15 minutes. So in life, there are multiple ways to travel a journey. In 2018, God has a plan for you and I. And it is up to you and I to decide, are we going to run through 2018? Are we going to cycle through 2018? Are we going to catch a car or are we going to get a plane? The plane is the acceleration that God wants you and I to experience in 2018. So last week, Pastor Mirella preached on the Israelites. They took 40 years in the wilderness, a journey that was meant to take 11 days. So 2018, God has a plan for you and I. And it is up to us. Are we going to take 2018 similar to the 40-year journey? Or are we going to take it as the 11-day journey? And the difference on how, whether it's going to be a 40-year journey or 11-day journey, it is our obedience to what God has telling us. So for us to experience an accelerated 2018, we need to get rid of things that weigh us down. And one of those things is our thinking. So if we have a slavery mentality, so think of the Israelites. They had such a slavery mentality that some of them, that's all they knew because they were born in Egypt under that oppression. Like one of the statements they say, oh, take us back to Egypt where we would eat onion and whatever it was. Ew. I'd rather have manna that was coming from heaven. But because their mindset was so messed up, they didn't realize the blessing that was before them. So in 2018, what slavery mentality do you need to get rid of? What slavery mentality do I need to get rid of? Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7 in the Passion reads, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you are our true Father. Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, we can access everything our Father has. For we are heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. So every promise that is in the Word, now it's just there. So every promise that is in the Word, every declaration, everything. So when God created you, he knew, and I, that one day we would get to 2018. And in 2018, he placed, let's just call them presents and gifts along the way that we need. So there's stuff we need to pick up in January, in February, in March, April, May, all the way to December. So that's the everything we need to access. But for us to access that, we need to be walking the path that he has laid out for us. So a slavery mentality is anything that is below the standard of sonship. So from this verse, we read that he wants us to access everything that he, as sons, you know, as there's such a difference between a son and a slave. A son would just walk, a son of the house, this would just walk and wreck everything, you know, just throw these guitars around. And as a father, you might discipline them, but they've got access to do that. A total stranger walks in here, would probably all just look at him like, why are you wrecking our church? Impossible becomes possible when God is involved. So what are your impossible things that you have in 2017? So in 2018, choose to partner with God on all those things that are currently impossible. Because what? With God, all things are possible. Hebrews 11 has been called the faith chapter. If you haven't read that in a while, I encourage you to go and read it. It goes through basically from the start of the Bible to pretty much close to when Jesus comes. And it talks about these great men and women of God, about what they did, how they conquered. You know, there's Daniel, there's even Rahab, there's Abraham, there's Moses. And as I was reading, I got to Hebrews 11, 33. I've got it in the NIV. And it reads, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. So this is the verse that summarizes that whole faith chapter. And as I was just looking at this, I'm like, what? Who through faith conquered kingdoms? I know what conquering kingdoms is. They conquered, administered justice, and they gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. So if you can see from the next slide, this is the process that we need to take to walk into our promise. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, and they administered justice and gained the promise. So for 2018, if this is the only thing you remember, let this be it. That whatever faith you have for whatever you want to conquer, for you to get to the promise, between the conquering and the promise, there's administration in the middle. So administration is the process of acquiring anything by faith. So most of us, we miss it. in January, in December, we're setting our goals and say, God, this is what I'm believing for. This is what I'm hoping to get in my life. And then nothing, we don't do anything. Then we get to December and we're like, God, I'm disappointed in you because you didn't show up. So you will never, you and I will never occupy or access anything that we cannot administer. You and I will never occupy anything we do not administer. So what is to occupy? To occupy is to have a legal right to bring administration to or to enjoy a benefit. For example, if you occupy a house, you either have mortgage on that house or you rent that house. If someone, you know, you've heard of squatters, so people that are living in a house that they don't have a right to, and those people are chased away. So we need to occupy 2018. We need to occupy what God has laid out for us. So next level, when we want to go to the next level, basically it means we're occupying more territory than we were before. So in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our own image and let them have dominion in the earth realm. We are called to take dominion. So when you look at your life today, are you having dominion in your marriage? Are you having dominion with your children? Are you having dominion in your work life? Are you having dominion in your university? If you're not, the answer is probably because you're not administering the things that you need to be administering. So to administrate or to administer, it means the processes and structures that assist you to occupy the next level. So this time, we're in 2017. And 2018, December, is on the other side of 12 months. And we all have things we want to achieve in the next 12 months. But for us to move from this December to that December, we need to administrate this middle bit with faith, with hope, with diligence, being guided by God. I'll illustrate what I'm talking about through the story of Joseph. I'll read from verse 33, but I'll give you a background before. So Joseph, at this point, he's in the prison. And Pharaoh has two dreams. He has a dream. He calls his sorcerers, his magicians to come and give meaning to the dream, and they couldn't. Then he has another dream, similar to the first one, and no one could give him the meaning to it. And then that's when the baker, I think, says, I think it's the baker, says, oh, actually, I know someone who I was in prison with, and they interpreted my dream. And so verse 25, Joseph comes to Pharaoh, tells him all about it. But I'll go from verse 33. And now let Pharaoh look for discerning and wise men and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, to keep in the cities for the food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with the respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So in the dream, the interpretation was, there will be 7 years of good harvest, and then there'll be 7 years of famine. That was the dream. That was the promise, that was the word. And then God gives Joseph the administration on how to actually handle that dream, that vision that had come down. So he says, during the 7 years of harvest, we need to store up so that when we get to the 7 years of lack, then we've got all this abundance. So Joseph could have just given the interpretation and stayed at that promise. If nothing had happened for the 7 good years, By the time they got to the probably the second year, all of Egypt and Israel would have been wiped out. So what saved Egypt? It was the administration that saved Egypt and the 12 tribes of Israel. So what administration can you bring to the different areas of your life to bring value to your family, to bring value to your job? You know, so many times we blame God that God is not acting. But actually, God has given us the promise, but it is up to you and I to administer the thing that He has told us so we can walk in the promise. So from this passage that we've written, what are some steps that we can take in 2018? Number one, get the revelation, the promise, for the vision for 2018 to be established. So verses 25 and 32, that's when the interpretation of the dream comes. The second thing we need to do, what structures or processes do we need to set up in 2018 for us to walk in the promise that God has given us? Who do you need to talk to? Do you want to buy a house? You need to go and talk to the bank. Do you want better grades? You need to go and talk to your course coordinator. Whatever it is, who do you need to talk to? Who do you need to partner with? You know, I've shared a few years ago, my husband and I, just our financial situation was not where we wanted it to be. And I remember praying, I'm like, God, I am doing everything. We're both accountants. I'm doing everything, but the things are just not balancing. And then God, the instruction He said to me, is like, I want you to partner with this certain ministry. I'm like, God, that is contrary. That's more money going out. But that was my administration. And honestly, from that point of contact, I started to see where we were making mistakes in our finances. And then I started to tweak those things. And now, 6 years later, I can honestly say that our finances are in a better position than they were 6 years ago. But what was the difference? It wasn't that God spoke and money descended from heaven. It was me changing my habits, me changing my structures in my home, you know, just reviewing certain things. And that is how those things came to pass. And the third thing you need to do is execute the plan. So it's one thing hearing from God, the promise, and then He gives you a plan. We actually have to execute the plan to walk in the fullness and the abundance of what He has called us to. So at times you fail on your first attempt. That's okay. Learn from it. Just say, okay, last time I walked this way. And then I got here and I hit a detour. So next time when I get here, I'll try a different route. So it's a trial and error sometimes, you know. It's not going to work every time. It's how we persistently pursue and try until we get it right. And then the fourth thing we need to do is to walk in the promise. So if you read Genesis 47:25, the Egyptians say to Joseph, "You have saved us. May you find favor in the Lord's eyes." Amen. I'll use Isaiah 54 verse 2 to illustrate it even more. Verse 2. So I called my message unlocking. Look at my beautiful key. Unlocking the promise. So what is a key? What is a key? A key is a tool that gives you access to either the next room. It takes you from one place to another place. So if you want to enter this building, you need the keys for this building. If you want to enter my car, I have to give you my car keys. If you want to enter a safe, you need the key that will open that safe. So the administration that I'm talking about is the key that will unlock your next level. It is what will unlock. So if I give you my car, I'll go and say, click, I gift you my car, there you can have my car. If I do not give her the keys, she will not drive that car. She might own it, but if she does not have the keys to actually unlock and get into that car, she will not drive that car. So in your life, in my life, God has got all these promises that He's given us. But if we do not access the key to unlock that next level, we can walk around looking at that beautiful promise that He's given us, but we need to unlock it. And I believe the key is in the key to the key, Dabo and Chandra. Isaiah 54, verse 2. We've all read it. It's actually been preached a few times this year. It reads, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." So the first instruction is to enlarge the place of your tent. What does it mean to enlarge the place of your tent? It means to enlarge your vision. So as you look into 2018, what do you need to enlarge? What vision? So if you've been seeing yourself as the least, you need to start seeing yourself as the head and not the tail. So you cannot see where you're not going. You can't go where you have not seen. Like what Pastor Miller said in the Bible with Ezekiel, God comes and says, "What do you see?" It was the dry bones. And then there was Jeremiah, "What do you see?" It was the leaves. So God is always asking us. We cannot go where we have not seen. And seeing it doesn't mean we have to see it in the natural. It can be seeing it in the spirit. You know, sometimes you just get this frustration of, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I don't know where I'm going to go. But God, I am partnering with you to lead me where you need me to go. And the second thing is to stretch out the tent curtains. So if you can imagine a tent, if you're stretching out, what are those? Those are the structures. So this is what I'm talking about, the administration. So our daily processes, our routines need to feed into the vision that we want, that we are having. So if we don't change our current lifestyle, when it comes to December 2018, our lives will be exactly the same, if not worse than where we are today. So your current, the way you manage your time, do you have capacity? So if you're praying, say you're saying, God, I want a business. God, I want a business. If you look at your day, your Monday to Friday to Sunday, the way you manage your time, do you have capacity to even manage a business? Maybe you're praying for kids or a marriage or whatever. Does your lifestyle now have the capacity to hold that dream that you're praying for? And this is what that administration is. So whatever way you want to be, so start by saying, okay, my daily routine doesn't match to who I want to be. So start tweaking. Start living your life as if you're already there. So with the story of Joseph, I think the Egyptians thought he was crazy because he was buying all this grain from them during the time of plenty. And they're probably thinking, wow, this is good business. Pharaoh's 2IC is going crazy. He's just buying all this grain, and he was keeping all this grain. And he says he was keeping it in each city. So he was so strategic that he didn't want to transport grain from Melbourne to Sydney. Melbourne had their own storehouses. Sydney had their own storehouses. Newcastle had their own storehouses. So in your life, the different parts of your life, you know, if you're taking from one part of your life and giving to the other, there's a point where you won't have enough. And time is just an easy example, but how do you have margin in your life? If something would come up today, do you have margin in your life? You know, if something just out of left field just drops, you're like, actually, I can't, I'm at capacity. So the first thing you can probably do for 2018 is to scale back and say, okay, what are things that I'm doing that I just, time wasters. There's a lot of stuff we do that are time wasters. And the third thing, it says lengthen your cord. So the longer a cord is, the greater the ability to hold pressure. So imagine if I have a rope and I've got it there hanging. And if it's long, I can peg further. And I can put more tension in that rope. So how do you manage your daily life? Like I was saying, is there that capacity to grow? Or you are so stretched that a single feather falling on you would just snap that. So have that conversation with God and say, God, what do I need to let go? And then the last thing it says, strengthen your stakes. Strengthening your stakes means being anchored to the vision. Always being anchored to God. Always take it back to God. Sometimes our goals and visions are so materialistic that God is not even involved. But you know, God cares about those material things, but that should always originate from God himself rather than from self. So if 2018 says a year of increase for you, what does that mean? So if you're saying 2018, I'm going to increase in what? If it's a year of new beginnings, what does that mean to you? So like this verse that I read at the start, that Pastor Mirella declared over the church. So what does flourishing mean to you? What does not digging wells mean to you? So you really need to break it down to something that makes sense to you, something that will keep you going throughout the year. So in 2018, let's choose to be progressive and not to settle. Settling is easy and comfortable because we know, you know, when you settle somewhere, you know what it's like. It's very comfortable. You know the challenges of that place. And stepping out sometimes can be like, why would I want to step out when I'm settled, when I'm happy, when I'm comfortable? But in 2018, let's choose to be progressive. Whatever we've achieved this year, let's build on that in 2018. Let's build on that in 2018. And how do we build on that? We give God access through our routines, through our processes for Him to achieve that. We need to push through the change. We need to embrace the change. Change is hard for most people. But if we do not go through change, we will not enlarge our capacity to hold the next level that we're going into. Change is frustrating because you're learning new skills and we all want to give up. I don't know, most of us, if we think back when we started driving, it was daunting and I'm like, oh my gosh, all these people on the road. But what do? You keep going. You keep going through until you just drive and you're like, how did I get to church? Because it's so ingrained in you. And we need to have processes. We need to have routines in our lives that always anchor us back to God. How does God speak to you through the day? So you pray in the morning, but does God have to wait for you to pray the next morning to be able to speak to you? So we need to develop things in the middle between morning and morning where God can speak to us. It could be through a feeling. It could be through a verse. It could be through anything. But are we creating that capacity to allow God to actually speak to us? You know, as I was just going through the Bible, just thinking, I was like, oh God, this is a very interesting thing about, you know, access through administration. Like you look at Elisha and the widow. He says to her, go and gather as many empty jars that you can find. So she brings the empty jars. That was the administration she had to do for her to be able to receive that promise. And he actually said, don't ask just for a few. So she went and asked for all she could ask for, then she got. And the oil stopped flowing when the last jar was full. So imagine if she had got 3 jars. The oil would have stopped flowing at 3 jars. Or if she had got 1 jar, it would have stopped at 1 jar. I don't know what many was, but it stopped flowing when it was many. And that sustained her through the time there was famine in the land. If you look at the story of the talents, where the master gave the talents to the 3 servants, the one with the 1 talent, he rebuked him. He's like, you evil servant, why did you bury it? Why didn't you take it to the bank? So just reading through these stories, I get the sense that God, there's God's part and then there's our part. And sometimes, and trust me, I've done it, I want God to do the whole 100% part. But there's our part and then there's your part. So you can trace almost every story in the Bible and see that all the faith heroes, like in Hebrews 11, they had to set things in place before they walked into or through that promise. So Joshua, we heard it last week. Daniel, Gideon, David, even Jesus. So Jesus, from his birth, he had to spend 30 years preparing before he had the 3 years of ministry. Even the 3 years of ministry, he had to go out and select 12 apostles. And those 12 apostles are the ones that then spread the word, and that links to us, you and I, today. So imagine if Jesus had come and not taught anyone about the kingdom of God and performed all those miracles, and then he would have gone to heaven. we wouldn't know about Christianity. It would be just another religion that dies. But he had to do his part. He had to set up processes. He had to set up structures. And that was through the 12 apostles. And those 12 apostles then went further and further and further. I'll just get the team up. At the start, if you remember, I said, just ask God what you want to hear. So what are you administering in your life well, and what are you not? Of course, there's places that, you know, we are being good stewards. But there's areas that we need to improve, that we need to get better. Like I said, there's always God's part, and then there's our part as well. You could be waiting for God to act, but he's actually waiting for you to put the structures in place for you to contain the harvest that he has for you. The story of the 10 virgins in the New Testament, there was 10 of them, 5 of them, and they were all waiting for the prince, I think, to come. 5 of them got ready. They put oil in their lamps, and then the other 5 said, oh, we'll do it once when he comes. And then he came when they were not even ready. And they're like, oh, we're not ready. We were going to do. Will you wait? And they're like, no, we are not going to wait for you. And they asked the 5 that had the oil, they're like, can you share your oil with us? They're like, no, we can't, because if we share, half of the oil is not going to be enough for what we need. So have you given up on a promise because it didn't work in the past, or it didn't turn out the way you expected? It could be because you haven't set up the structures, you haven't administered to conquer, you haven't administered, you haven't given access to God so he can work through you, through your processes, through your structures to make that thing come to pass. Are you living with sickness and disease in your body because you've tried to believe for healing and it didn't work? The administration could be you need to keep standing on the healing scriptures of God, regardless of whether you see that healing coming or not. You need to stand on it until you get your breakthrough. If that's the instruction God has given you, he doesn't say do and then stop. If that's what he said to do, you need to do that until you see your breakthrough. Have you stopped believing salvation for family because you've prayed and didn't work? Maybe you need to ask God, how am I supposed to pray? I remember I was praying for someone in my family to get saved, and I was just praying and, you know, just trying to talk. And God says to me, pray for the right person to come alongside this person. So my prayer shifted. So then I started praying. I'm like, God, send the right people to come alongside this person for salvation. And guess what? Results came. Have you ruled yourself out of a job promotion because you tried before and it didn't work? Maybe it wasn't the right job for you. Or maybe you need to fix your resume. Maybe you need to get interview skills. You know, it could be simple things like that. But there's your part. There's no point, you know, just chucking your application everywhere. If it does not meet the standard they're looking for, they're not going to look at it. Or maybe you're stuck in a job, in an industry, and you've settled. But God, you know God's called you for greater things. Start pursuing that greater thing in 2018. Have you just stopped trusting God because you believed him once for something that never happened? It's time to trust him again. It says in the word in Psalm that he will give you the desires of your heart. So sometimes you're like, oh yeah, maybe it wasn't God's will. If it is your desire, it says he will give you the desires of your heart. So for some of us, there's promises and dreams that we've buried and just said, you know what, it didn't happen, it didn't work, and I'm not even going to pursue it. So let 2018 be the year that you resurrect those dreams. And as you resurrect those dreams, set up the right processes. You know, the processes don't have to be really intricate. It could be just believing it's going to work. It could be just praying and not wavering in our faith. Or it could be something simple and practical as saying, I need to wake up earlier so I've got more margin in my day. Are we too busy to pray? Because above all else, God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. So we need to seek the healer, not the healing. We need to seek the provider, not the provision. We need to seek the protector, not the protection. Because if we're seeking him, like, you know, we read in that verse, it says he gives us access to everything a son should have. So our focus in 2018 should be on him rather than on the things that we can get if we spend time in him. So just ask the Holy Spirit, what are some things that you need to change in 2018? Like I told you at the start, I'd spent years just frustrated. I would get to the end of the year and say, God, I've wasted my year. Like, I've got nothing to show for it. And he said to me, I wasn't being excellent with managing my life the way I would manage, you know, my work. So ask the Holy Spirit, what are some structures? What are some routines? What are some processes that you need to set up in 2018? And you know, I'll go back to that slide, Tyrone. Hebrews 11:33 says, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. And the next one. So like I said, our faith is what will make us conquer. But for us to conquer, we need to administer things in the middle before we can walk in the promise. Amen. So what is it that you need to administer in your life? What is it? You know, as I rang Pastor Morello on Friday, I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Because I actually started to see areas where I was not administering things right. You know, I'm just, there's areas where I was just like, oh, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. But there was nothing. You know, it says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So, there's order in the kingdom of God. So just saying words does not mean you're going to get them. You have to believe those words. And then you have to put things in place to back up what you're saying. And I hope you don't misunderstand me thinking that this is all natural. No. The administration could be you just sitting in the presence of God praying in tongues. That could be it. And through that, he would download the thing that you need to. I'll share this year at work, I just sensed, it was actually in my morning devotions, one of the things I always ask, I'm like, God, what do you want me to do for the day? And sometimes he says, pray. Sometimes it's quite specific. I want you to call this person. And this one day, he's like, I want you to ask your team to do a six-month review of all the processes they've done, get data, get stats, get anything, backing thing. I think we spent about 3 months working on it. And honestly, the day I finished, my manager didn't even know I was doing this. The day I finished, I sent her the report that I'd compiled. That day, someone higher had said to her, we're wondering what the stuff in your team do, because we don't even know what they're doing, and we're planning a restructure, but we don't even know what they do. Guess what? I had the report ready with everything that we did, with everyone's name attached to it. And so she gave that, and that process actually stopped because they didn't know what we did. But because I was able to provide that document, they now understand what we do. And what I'm saying is, I got that strategy from God. I thought it was just me loving stats and order and, you know, just getting things in place. But God knew 3 months later, someone will be questioning what we do. But because of his faithfulness, I had already administered for 3 months. I had the answer ready. I didn't even know what it was for. But when the opportunity came, I provided that answer. Amen. So sometimes this coming year, God will ask you to do things you don't understand why you're doing them. Just do them. It says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'll just get everyone to stand. And I'll get Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 and 11 put up. That's the verse that was declared over our church. Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 11. So what does this verse mean for you? And the answer is not going to just come like now. It's probably when you go home, you need to just work on this. So this is the start for 2018. This is the verse that has been declared over this house. And as a part of this house, you can choose to partner with this word or not. You can choose to say, no, I don't want any of that. That's okay. But if you do choose to partner with it, what does that mean for you? What has God sworn to you that you haven't received yet? You know, there's things that God swore. I just sense that there's, for some of us here, there's things God spoke to us when we stepped into this land. God said, when you go to Australia, I am going to make you, I am going to give you access to, and some of us have not seen those things yet. I would claim that. I would say, God, this is what you swore to me when I set my foot on this land. Or it could be even when you were a young girl or a young boy, God spoke certain things in your heart you've never shared with anyone. And as I'm speaking, some of those things are coming back to memory. They're just coming back to mind. Grab onto those things and say, God, I am holding onto this promise. And show me what I need to set up in place so I can walk in that promise.